I don't know how you want it to be, where it's like, mm-hmm. usually you do the, I usually have my guests answer, mm-hmm. what do they do? Like, who mm-hmm. are they? They introduce themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, we've never had that from you.
Yeah. Okay. I could do a little something. Like if we were to, okay. So give me, I guess, 2 seconds and I'll say, hello and welcome everyone to another episode of The Esoteric Negro. Today, you guys are getting to know Oscar and myself. We decided to kind of revisit,
That's fine.
Okay. So we're doing this right next to each other, so.
This will be the intro.
We're doing this right next to each other, and I'm used to being like alone in my apartment talking to someone through a screen, and Oscar's here right next to me, and it's, you know, he's kind of doing he's actually doing the engineering thing in real time, so it's making me a little nervous. I get to see how everything's made, in a sense.
It's interesting. We'll figure it out. That's a good enough intro. I'll cut the intro like right here, and then the theme goes.
Exactly, yeah. That we had when we initially had a conversation about doing this, we were talking about how the podcast started, what life was like during the pandemic and creating during the pandemic. I think I'm hitting all the points as mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and what the experience was and where everything has kind of progressed till now. Cause you and I started comparing notes, and we've had similar experiences with people in our own friend groups, mm-hmm. and also similar personal experiences that ended up being very similar. It's like we, you know, are all on the same, as much as everyone wants to personalize their experiences.
This was very parallel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of parallels in what was going on.
Right. Yeah. So I usually ask, like we usually ask guests, or I usually ask guests, you know, tell us about yourself. Would you just mind telling everyone, giving you like your own personal bio, and then
the quick little snippet? So y'all have never heard my voice on this thing, so hello to everybody out there. But I do the audio engineering. If I'm not doing that, I'm usually building stuff on different sets and commercials. So I do like carpentry and construction stuff on the side, and having the audio know-how, I also do like music production and things like that. So. You know, basic LA lifestyle of having to do multiple jobs just to like move forward kind of thing. But, you know, LA born and raised, I'm out here. We met each other through a coffee shop, and next thing you know, we're on 3 seasons of your show. So, you know, classic, moving to the big city kind of story for you, but, kind of flipped the script a little bit. Yeah. Like this is kind of the first time you're going to get to do this. So can you just introduce yourself, Marseille?
My name is Marseille. I moved to LA like almost 8 years ago now. I can't even believe it's been that long.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been
7 years, I think, makes you like an official
Angelina. Yeah. You know how I know I feel like a real Angelina? Because I talk shit to people from out of town now. Like, I feel now like I've been inducted enough to where I can be like, oh, these people moved to LA.
You get her sentiments
now. Yeah, I get the sentiments now. Because at first, everybody goes through, really quickly, everybody goes through the phase where you hate the city. And then you start to realize it's not the city, it's you. So I had to do some self-reflection and realize, oh, it's me. That has all these crazy expectations. And later we'll get into how that's connected to spirituality, how people come here with certain expectations and how that's connected to a lot of some of the things that's been interesting to watch go down in the quote unquote spiritual community in the past year, two or 3 years, to be honest, and how this is all converging politically, socially, and everything's kind of turning into, I don't know, Oscar, what would you call it?
I don't know, clusterfuck comes to mind.
Yeah, clusterfuck. I didn't want to say clusterfuck, but there you go.
Yeah.
There you have it.
I mean, the most definitely, the whole process that we can get into it, sort of going into the whole origin of this show was, it's very serendipitous to see that you just wanted to pursue interests that you had personally and like were just curious about, and how that evolved over the course of the show, along with like this boom in spirituality, this boom in mysticism and occult research, where it was like now the common person is stuck in their home going through like the YouTube wormhole thing.
You know, I'll say that a lot of people like myself, before we had a word for what deconstruction was, have obviously had to deconstruct ourselves from Christianity. Some people call it becoming religious, dabbling in religious pluralism, becoming agnostic, atheist, getting into alternative spirituality or occultism. I've never really been able to put a label on it just because I had to unlearn so many of the negative and toxic traits that came along with how my worldview was shaped by Christianity. And not to say that I'm not saying everything is good or bad. I'm not speaking in the binary black and white. But what I'm saying is when you are essentially sheltered in a place where you have like these questions and can't really talk to anyone else, the podcast, you know, initially we had my friend Scott, who is amazing.
Shout out
to Scott, who introduced these ideas, other spiritual ideas, because he had studied theology in college, to me. And it was finally nice to have someone after a long shift talk to me about just how they cope with life and how they're spiritually connected, whether it was him doing yoga or doing these, you know, doing whatever he was up to at the time. Scott's always has like, you know, nuggets of wisdom to share in conversation. So it was, this podcast became an outlet, but also a safe space for me to engage with other people on this spiritual path that I'm on. And I couldn't necessarily have these conversations with close friends and family, because like many of you, when you have family that is, you know, very religious or they're set in their ways, it's always the one way. And there's no room for interpretation. And so now my philosophy is a loving one, and to talk with people that I would like to be like, in a sense, or mirror. I want to mirror their path in some way. And a lot of people think, and you know, we'll get to this later, a lot of people think that just because you leave, somehow leaving Christianity or leaving, you know, Abrahamic religions or leaving your religious, strict religious background, somehow you're not an asshole anymore. And that's just not the case. And that's something that I had to learn throughout this process too, is I think that when people talk about, oh, when you're a healed person, you behave this way, this is how you'll act. I don't think anybody ever really gets necessarily healed, by the way. I think we're all healing, you know, or shedding it as we go along through life.
I mean, it has to be a process overall, and kind of being sort of the man behind the curtain kind of thing, and how this has all grown and seeing the community that's come out of this whole show and the people you've brought on and how everyone's interacting with each other from this, it's clear that a space like this was necessary, just because there was there's that thing of like, whether regardless of your background or regardless of what you're curious about understanding or learning or having conversations about, if you're only ever in an environment that's like, we have to look at it through this one way, you can ask a simple question as to why that is, and then immediately that's just like, okay, well, you're rocking the boat a little bit too much. Like, you're stepping away from the family. You're giving a shame, even if it's just like, I just wanted to know why. I wanted to understand the context behind why these traditions exist, whether it's like through the church or just through family dynamics. And to see that be explored in a personal way, but also just like in a kind of academic way as well, because like you walk into it almost mm-hmm. as a documentarian, like you're not judging, mm-hmm. You're not doing anything other than asking questions that go deeper into mm-hmm. how did you get here? What inspired you to do this? You know, what's come out of that mm-hmm. and seeing how most of these conversations always end up being like some little bit of like serendipity was involved. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden it blossomed mm-hmm. into like the person that they wanted to become from like the get-go.
Right. Right. 'Cause there were times where certain people, and I know the pandemic had a lot to do with this, where people were saying yes out of the gate. And I thought, well, maybe this is magic. And in some ways, like Chawan was on the podcast, she said she calls it the invisible hand. Mm-hmm. Whether you call it God, whether it's the Abrahamic God or whatever God you believe in, it did feel like for a long time, and it does feel like that something was kind of leading me to, or leading us to create this thing or to keep working on it. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that now we've been far into this enough to where the shame and those things you just mentioned have worn off. Mm-hmm. And also learning how to create at the same time, how to be an artist, how it's never going to be a good time to create. So just mm-hmm. create. Yeah. You're never going to have the greatest circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, I was of the mindset that you have to have all these things that all these people with trust funds have in order to create mm-hmm. quality work. And I don't know why I thought that way. I was aware that people, you know, use junkyard things to make art, but it's just something you get in your head because of the, when you live in a place where you see people creating with means, you think that that is what you need, but you really don't need.
Yeah. And I think that's a, maybe take a step back and we can talk about how this, what was like the first step into doing all of this. Right. It was taking that and sort of having to help you come to the understanding that like all you needed was a mic mm-hmm. and someone to be talking to. Like it was as simple as like booking down the people that you wanted to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I remember early on, like it was even just like the first times you were booking some of the interviews, like seeing the excitement, not just from you of being able to talk to the people you were interested in, but seeing the excitement from these individuals who were like, oh, like, thank you for allowing me to speak about these, either whether it was my mm-hmm. personal history or mm-hmm. about the life that I live mm-hmm. or the things that I pursue. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we live in LA. It is a city of optics. It always mm-hmm. has been. I mean, I've known it since I was like a little kid growing up out here. Like everything past like Exposition or Pico, or once you start going into what is like the industry in Hollywood or the mask that is Sunset and Hollywood Boulevard, and then over the hill where the actual studios are, mm-hmm. you start realizing that this whole city functions off of that. So to come here to the city and live that LA dream is, if there's a slippery slope of like, maybe I should be living off of ramen and throwing all my money into marketing and branding, which could get you somewhere, or you can do the collaborative community aspect of it, which is seek people who just know what they're doing and are passionate about supporting other people. Mm-hmm. And I think we took that latter route because then it just turned into, well, you happen to know people who understood audio production, or you happen to know people that understand that creative process. Mm-hmm. And not only were we there to support you 100%, but to see you flourish in all of that yeah. and to see where you are now from you thinking I needed to have this immense studio set up. And then we were mm-hmm. like, nah, you just needed a mic, a laptop, and then you had your guest. Yeah. And then it was that simple. And then, you know, we're looking at what, 2-3 years later now, mm-hmm. and here mm-hmm. we are, where it's like mm-hmm. we're in a personal studio situation,
different world too. Yeah. Almost it feels like the years were lost, but we got so much done mm-hmm. in that time. Yeah. Just being able to do, I remember everyone that was creative was having a field day. Most of them, you know, were so able to create. A lot of great creative output came out during that time. And also a lot of people, because of the uncertainty, on the flip side of that, a lot of people lost a lot. They lost a sense of self. A lot of people didn't know who they were without, when they had to sit still with it, mm-hmm. right? When almost this contemplative tradition comes in,
yeah.
when people had to sit still with who they are, they did, you know, people just like, I don't know who I am. Yeah. And then that became, it seemed like, the fertile ground with this looming election, mm-hmm. fertile ground for people to kind of get into spirituality, mm-hmm. but also get into it in a way that I find to be, that has kind of turned into something that doesn't really necessarily resonate with me in a way. And we could talk about that later, but mm-hmm. Oscar had plenty of to say about that because we saw this happening to so many people we knew.
Yeah.
And even to myself sometimes. I think that even in the midst of me kind of going through, I think everybody, first of all, let me say this, I think everybody goes through some kind of spiritual psychosis, some kind of, you know, religious experience or awakening. Just like people go through a political adolescence, mm-hmm. people go through a spiritual adolescence. I'm on my third and last one. I had one in seventh grade, and I had one as an adult, and I think this is my last one. And I think what I've learned from what I've gotten from the past couple years, and what my hope that I can convey going forward, is that I make things for people who are just like me, who don't have the energy anymore to debate mm-hmm. your beliefs. I want us to be free now. And that is my platform, is to convey freedom. If you have questions, you can ask them. Mm-hmm. Certainly. And if you want to believe certain things and you want to kind of throw away others, you're entitled to do that. And I think that the world is kind of going in that direction. I don't think that this thinking of, like, if you believe this, you have to think this, this, and that. I think that, and I don't mean that in a way where I'm trying to sound like a centrist or all ideas are valid. They're certainly not. But as you get, I think it's age, as we get older and as we get more mature, I realize that there's not really a reason for me to critique everything evangelicals are doing mm-hmm. anymore.
I think you get to a point where you start recognizing the patterns and what is actually, you know, when something's going to be able to move forward in a conversation, mm-hmm. especially if you've had those debates over and over and over, whether it is ideologies that are religious or political.
Yeah.
You start realizing, like, some people just aren't worth that trouble. And it's not that those conversations shouldn't be had. But it is understanding that, like, okay, but what can I do instead of just speaking mm-hmm. about this mm-hmm. that can actually move the discourse further, or who I can be working with to actually, you know, whether it is activism in some sense or even just going into your own community and realizing mm-hmm. like, well, there's things that I can do. There's things mm-hmm. that I can be doing for the people around me, or better yet, like, what if I need to take that step back? And like you said, maybe go through a healing process, and maybe that's never going to be a 100% thing. Mm-hmm. But put yourself in that state of, I need to be continuously growing myself in order for mm-hmm. me to even have the opinion of, like, coming in with the flag and, like, I'm going to wave it mm-hmm. in front of you because my opinion matters, or my opinion is more valid. Like, mm-hmm. so you just get to a point where it's like, it's not a defeatist thing. It's just more of like, I know where my energy needs to be. Mm. I know where my focus needs to be.
Mm. And we focus on the valid, too much on what's valid and not what's helpful, what's actually helpful to people.
Yeah.
There was this recent controversy about this church that, you know, a lot of my friends like, and they had this whole play. You know, Christians do the play that they do a play on the secular music in the world. They do it for Easter to show differences between good and evil, blah, 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 blah. But there's a whole controversy about it. And I saw a lot of people that I do follow and respect weighing in, and I respect their opinions. And some of them are in a better position to make those arguments. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my head, I was like, I should say something about this. And I was like, well, wait a minute. At the end of the day, those people that participated in that probably didn't get paid a lot of money. This is probably the only creative outlet they have. Mm-hmm. Why should I be spending time, like, tearing them? It's not going to help them.
Yeah.
This is not going to help them. The hours and sweat and tears, if you've ever participated in anything church-wise, you know it's you're not really going to get paid that much. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to let them have it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. I'm going to let them have it. And I know that it's not always like that if it were the opposite situation. Mm-hmm. I know the behavior is different. But I think that that is a testament to true spiritual growth, is knowing that, okay, I don't... being not a part of this culture anymore means I don't have to police everyone too. Policing mm-hmm. is the most toxic part of it. And I think leaving that and shedding that, leaving that behind has been one of the more integral things to my spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. as a person is realizing to live and let live.
Yeah.
You know, and we had Aaron on the podcast, Reverend Aaron, and he said something to me, and this was a couple of months ago, but it is something that I would love to get your opinion on. But he said, I was in the middle of his, he was telling me about his course. And I said, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, because there's a lot of fight, even the occult community, mm-hmm. spiritual community, about closed practices, open practices, so on and so forth. And he just so matter-of-factly said, well, you know what? I didn't make it for them. And I say that to myself mm-hmm. every day, like, mm-hmm. who am I creating? You have to really realize who you're creating for. If people, there are certain people that are not going to like it, but you didn't make it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe that. And we were talking a little bit about that before we hit the record button on this, and it's the fact that you have so many people that are full of like potential in terms of whether it's creativity or just like a project they want to work on. And it comes down to like that part of it where it's, you're doing this because it's a form of expression for yourself. First and foremost, like you're doing it because there's something that either, you know, that you want to share, or there's something that, you know, you want to collaborate with other people about. So to look at it from that perspective of like, I didn't make it for them, when you know it's just, it's what I need to be doing, and I know that it's right for my path, mm-hmm. it's not hurting anyone, it's just going to maybe mm-hmm. give people some negative opinions that they can keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I totally value that opinion, because it's amazing how much that doubt can even stunt some people that should be doing amazing work, mm-hmm. because they're like, well, what was everyone mm-hmm. going to think about it? How are people going to receive it? And it's mm-hmm. just like, you're not, as long as it's not inciting any kind of violence, it's not inciting any kind of hatred, if mm-hmm. it's just you trying to explore something, or mm-hmm. you trying to deliver something because you think it might be helpful, mm-hmm. you know, like I mm-hmm. I find that way more artistic and creative and progressive, in the sense of like, you're here now. Like, we had so many conversations, like, or especially at the beginning, before we even recorded the first episode, of what's going to be the name, how are people going to perceive this, what is the topic going to be about, how are people going to perceive this, what's the process, how are we going to interview people. It was like a lot of this refinement, of course, because we needed to understand what the structure of this whole thing mm-hmm. was going to be. But there was a lot of also helping each other get out of that headspace of like, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. And then you're realizing, I think at one point it was either me or Scott that had asked you, that it was like, what is it that you want to be doing? What mm-hmm. is it like, what is your ultimate goal from this? Mm-hmm. And then you broke it down of like, I want to learn things. Mm-hmm. I want to approach this, and I want to learn from other people. I want to talk to these people who I would never have thought you'd be in the same conversation with. And kind of going back to your point about watching different people's spiritual evolution and sort of political evolution, or at least how they engage mm-hmm. in discourse, I've always wanted to ask, because we never really had like a check-in thing mm-hmm. like this before. Mm-hmm. But since we started and up until now, like, was that understanding of like, you know, leave things be, like live and let live, kind of, did that happen within these 3 years, or was it more of like a reassurance of feelings that you were already kind of tapping on the door of?
That's a newer thing, I feel like. A little bit more of a newer thing. I'll say this, there was a time where I let my defensiveness like take the wheel. And I think that I had a lot of insecurity putting this stuff out, because I do have family now and neighbors and people that follow this podcast and people mm-hmm. that I know in my personal life who had no idea that I felt this way mm. about any of this stuff. And that's a very scary thing, because it's also, people are like, well, who are you? They start asking, who are you? Mm-hmm. And some of the things we talk about are kind of scary to some people, and people have been taught to be terrified of.
Yeah.
But, and then I got on TikTok and I started thinking, okay, this is a fertile ground for building community. But then it's just, as social media has really turned into a lovable, annoying monster in some ways, mm-hmm. I've realized that even a lot of online communities are even more corrosive to what you just said, live and let be. Like, the incentive is to not do that at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
So that's something that's pretty, when I had that conversation with him and he said, I didn't make it for them, that made me realize that my purpose is to give to people that give to people that, that I can relate to and that this content resonates with. Mm-hmm. And to not worry about anyone else, because there will always be someone who it doesn't resonate. And it is not my job, because I have an awareness. And this is something that is embedded in Christian beliefs, or the way I was brought up, is that there is only one way. Mm-hmm. And one path to knowledge, one path to living, and it has to come through this certain belief system and the way it's laid out for us, you know? And so that still wasn't out of me.
Yeah.
So I had to, and also really realizing who I was as a creative person, that I wanted to talk to more art, to artists and painters and stuff, and not realizing that this is probably what I should have been doing the whole time. And in some ways, in every aspect of my life, I was trying to, whether it's professionally, creatively, you know, every relationship wise, I was always trying to fit myself into a box that I was not made for. And I think that is that failure, or realizing why that was a failure, right? And so when I really started to live and let be, and I understood what that was the whole time, when I really started to live and let be, it seemed like I became almost not invincible, but I've been coping in a way that is allowing me to flourish even more. Is that a good answer?
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's okay.
Because I was like trying not to go off track and answer.
No, I think it's a beautiful response to that, just because it's this will be like my second question, because I'd like to know if there was like a moment, maybe it might have been during an interview, or just like, you know, because we've had a couple of hiatuses as well, like just to kind of, you know, double check and regroup and reset about how we want to move forward. But that feeling of doubt and making sure that you understood that the failure was not defining you. It was that freedom you were talking about, because then now you don't have to fit into the box of, like, you know, especially because podcasting has been out for a while, there's an oversaturation. There's always the idea of like, are we sounding too much like them or not enough like this? And it was just keeping the momentum of like, do what you want to do. Like, just talk to the people you want to talk about. All these people are super interesting. You know, I've had, at this point, literal hours, days, I think it's equated to, of like me getting to sit to in these interviews, because, like, you know, I feel a little bit privileged in that sense of like, I get to listen to these before anybody else. I'm like the first person to get to listen to this. And yes, I chop it up and try to do the whole like cleaning, editing process. But like, I get to be here and hear those moments of conversation where like, you see that box just slowly unfurling, especially when you really start engaging with these conversations that you said, yeah, it can be scary for some people, can be unnerving for others, but you have your stride in that, like, because you're not coming at it with a sense of judgment. It's just purely like, I just want to know. There's like a nice sort of brevity and breath to what's evolving from this. And yeah, I do want to know, like, is there a moment, or was there a moment that you can pinpoint that you were like, I need to break away from this. I need to understand that this was never about anybody else other than my growth into, you know, it's not even of like, I want to become the best host in the world, or I want to know this. It's like, this has been a very personal thing from what I've seen, like editing everything and having conversations with you. Like, was there that moment?
Yeah. You mentioned the hiatus. Both of us the past 2 years have been, you know, incrementally rough. And I think last year was 2022. Last year was like the motherfucker. And you know, what happened was, and Oscar can, like, as a witness to this, I would say, you know, we're going to be creative full time. Watch, we're going to be really busy. I think this is, I'm just going in this direction. I don't know what it is yet, or what it means yet, or if I even, I don't think that I had the confidence to say that I wanted to podcast and work in media, or, you know, eventually maybe even, God willing, write. I had all these things in my head. But again, that insecurity that was there. But then, like, obviously in LA, everybody hustles to make ends meet. I'd gotten this job was making more than I ever had. I had a little bit of power. I was working with this really cool people. And I thought, now this is going to carry me through so I can create, because I'll be able to work from home, you know, and have that work-life art balance. And you know, a couple of months in, due to none of our faults, I got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a shock to my system in a way. And like, everybody's been through layoffs. But I noticed right before that happened, I asked, like you were going to say, I said, I did the prayers. I asked the saints to intervene in my life in a way to where I am just creating full time. And then I lost my job and I was like, okay, cool.
Not exactly how I wanted that to play
out. Like, and I'm just warning everyone. This is kind of what happens to people. Like, if you want to...
You ask and you shall receive.
I got everything taken away from me. Everything taken away from me that I valued precious. And I made it through. I was able to pay my bills. I immediately went to South by Southwest with a friend. Or like, and stayed with some friends and worked that. Made some good money. Came back. Did the unemployment thing. And what's crazy about that is, and I had some money saved up, and I was able to have like tons of free time.
Yeah.
I had nothing but free time. I was like, oh, well, this sucks because I'm not making a ton of money. But also, like, I have nothing else to do but to think about what I want to do and how I want to create. So I was like, okay, well, maybe that's what this is about. Then we had, a death in my family, which I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, okay, so now... But after all that, like looking back on it, all those things had to happen. I have a mental toughness now that I did not have before. I used to say, I don't know why I feel so blank. Like, but it was like this worry that was gone. The last shred of people pleasingness died when my grandmother died. Not to get emotional, but it's true. It's like that last little bit of people pleasing. Because it's like now all I care about is making sure my mom is okay.
Yeah.
And living the most fulfilling, happiest life I can.
Yeah.
It was so painful, but I realized I still would have been like worried about her health, worrying about them back home and it all makes sense now. But at the time I was just like, wow, this is real fucked up. I don't know why you're putting me. And, you know, people like, oh, people die all the time. And it's just not when you're far away from home and you're trying to justify to yourself why you live so far away. And so many of my family members were like, you need to move back. And maybe that will happen eventually. I don't know where I'm going to land. You don't know where you're going to land eventually. Mm-hmm. But I know that I need to be here now to do, and I know why I came here now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really come out here with a plan to like work and feel. It just, the opportunities and the creative center, the community that I created just made me feel comfortable enough to where I could dip my toe in, and now like I'm fully immersed. So I hope I think that's a good answer to the question. I don't know. It was a moment, but I had to be broken. Some people are just so distracted. I'm one of those people. I get so distracted and I'm a natural people pleaser. I'm a natural helper.
Yeah.
If I have to have everything taken away in order for me to do, and you know, and it's taken a toll on every aspect of my life. But then I started realizing, oh, that's literally everybody's fucking story.
Yeah.
You know, not to quote movie stars or whatever, but I heard Michael B. Jordan the other day talking about, he was like sitting outside of Jack in a Box. Like, am I about to go do this?
Yeah.
Am I about to go? And there was a time when I was like, I may just go work at Taco Bell. I know they're making 20 an hour. You know what I mean? But that was the moment. It was.
Well, because you are presented with those options when everything around you is like torn apart.
Yeah.
And it was interesting watching you go through that process. And again, back to like, we were dealing with like some crazy parallels as we were doing everything. Because, we were kind of on the phone with each other or like texting each other, because when your grandmother passed away, like oddly enough, like my sister had passed away around the same time, and it was that same sentiment of like, I think we both agreed in that moment, why the fuck do I give a shit about what anybody else has to say to me?
Yes.
And I don't know if like you had that same feeling that same relationship with your grandmother that I had with my sister, but like the only person I ever wanted to impress was her.
Mm-hmm.
And to have lost that, it was kind of like, oh, now it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
It was that, you know, and I've been doing this since I picked up a guitar and been doing the struggling mm-hmm. musician, struggling artist thing mm-hmm. for like a cool minute, mm-hmm. but to finally be in that mm-hmm. moment of like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. my world that I thought I wanted is mm-hmm. gone, and then you're presented with the future mm-hmm. that you asked for, and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, like, this is fucked up. Like, this is really, this is a crude way of going mm-hmm. about it, but then realizing that, like, you have to keep moving yes. forward and expressing the thing that you wanted to do.
Yes.
And I noticed the moments where we were both kind of, like, on one knee and realizing, like, I don't know if I can get up again.
Yeah.
And just being able to kind of push each other up and...
Yeah.
Get a handle of that situation of, like, look at the times that we ended up thriving, though. Like, yeah. look at that ebb and flow thing. And it's been, at least for me personally, such a crazy experience to be a part of this. Because I've had those moments before of, like, you know, my stint in Catholicism was, like, 3 months as a kid. So I never had that burgeoning Catholic shame thing. So... But sometimes I do still try to, like, you know, there's got to be something out there. You're in those downtrodden moments and you want to find a way to get out. And yeah, you have those things where, like, you ask for something and then it means having to strip away so many different things. But to then be in that moment of, like, okay, I'm kind of getting what they're throwing at me now of, like, what's going on, how I have to accomplish certain things. And to do this show... created like a context for that, because mm-hmm. for me I was like, it's dumb luck, it's mm-hmm. just dumbass luck for me, like, why mm-hmm. is it that, like, I fall so horribly and then when I get back up I'm like double bouncing back, you know, yeah. to something else. And then hearing all the conversation that you've had with all these different spiritual practitioners and then people that just, like, view that perspective of, like, it's that balance, like, mm-hmm. sometimes if you're gonna go that high, sometimes you gotta mm-hmm. go that low, and it's given me a little bit of a solace getting to participate in this as well, because I personally don't practice in that sense, but I appreciate it for what that does create, mm-hmm. what that space creates, what that ritual and practice and all that can provide for someone, because it's like, now I know certain terms that, like, if I feel like complete shit, mm-hmm. but I feel that come up again, I'm like, it's that feeling that mm-hmm. sometimes you just got to take an L before you can get back up.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, like, we came up through the coffee game. We came yep. up through the customer service yep. thing. Like, we saw each other yeah. when it was like, like yeah. why are we here? We're dealing with, like, these, you know, annoying old Venice hippies. That were, like, just, you're all trust fund babies pretending to still be yes. a part of this old world ideology, but it's, like, here we are just trying to make ends meet, and you're trying to sprinkle us with, like, this weird version of what we now understand as, like, is performative.
Yep.
It's incredibly performative. It's incredibly, like, look at me and my enlightenment, when it's just, like, but then why are you angry all the time?
Mm.
Why were you, you know, why are you trying to bestow... theologies of enlightenment and understanding and peace, but literally 5 minutes ago I saw you yelling at, like, a 19-year-old girl over your, like, cafe or book fucking.
And you're idolizing billionaires still. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, and that's like we could go over yeah, a whole yeah. other thing with that too. Yeah. But, you know,
it is true.
Yeah, like it's nice to know that. I guess going back to the original question, like, yeah, you to have that moment of, like, it's not like you saying this is going to be about me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I no longer have to be, like, a doormat for anybody else.
Mm.
And, like, releasing yourself away from mm-hmm. that, like, I need to make sure that everyone around me is comfortable all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then having that immense realization and hitting that nasty, nasty wall of, but I'm not comfortable.
Mm.
What am I doing to make myself comfortable? What am I doing to express all that weight that I'm mm-hmm. carrying, because I don't want... whether it's my family to be upset at me, the friends mm-hmm. that I've made to be upset at me. And then you start realizing that all that kind of just sheds away
mm-hmm.
slowly when you start making that movement towards, mm-hmm. oh, I actually give a shit about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually care about my well-being, whether mm-hmm. it's spiritually, my mental health, physically, like, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I don't sleep enough. Like, I wonder why, because yeah. you're stressing about everybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
And then to be in this position now where, like, I'm personally incredibly excited for all the things that you're going to be doing. Like, because you see that shift in mm-hmm. momentum and, like, just, it's like watching fireworks. It's awesome, you know? Like,
well, right back at you. You're doing stuff, too. You have a whole shop building. You were doing all this cool stuff. And then I was like, okay. Like, I had this moment where I was like, okay, it's happening for us. Like, he's getting, you know, all these opportunities and this work. And he's, you know, I've always thought that, you wanted to carve out your own path, but very much on your own terms.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be creative, you want it to look a certain way. And I've always, like, admired that. Like, I've always admired the amount of ownership you take over your creative output in your creative life.
I mean, it's gotta be. That's always just been my perception on things. And to see you do the same, it's kind of like finding that tribe of people that are like 100% unashamed of like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
And I do still collaborate with people. Obviously, we're collaborating on this and knowing when to take a step back. But I appreciate that because it's like it's taken me a while to actually come into that realization of like, oh no, like there's a reason why I'm an asshole sometimes, mm-hmm. because I don't like people that come in with like ill intention, mm-hmm. where like trying to either intentionally or either unconsciously ruin something that I've literally worked on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I will protect myself no matter what from that. But I will also do the same for others because, you know, it's that like, you know, game recognized game. I see what you're doing and I see mm-hmm. the path that you're trying to take and the amount of times that you've ever had like that doubt. I'm like, I know exactly how that feels. And if it, you know, even if it's as simple as us just grabbing a cup of coffee mm-hmm. or just grabbing lunch or just having a conversation and being like, just get the hype back up of like, get out of there. Like just...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, this sucks. This job sucks. It sucked. We had to work overtime.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm thinking like of all the times like, oh God, I had to work this long ass shift and I'm so tired.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember, you know, now I didn't think it was a big deal and I never really like thought about it, like waking up at 7 a.m. before work and recording, mm-hmm. recording a podcast because someone I really liked was offering to meet with me and they lived on the East Coast and I had to be, you know, be there at 7, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody had stayed up the night before, like those things, you know, when people talk about paying dues, I didn't realize I was paying any dues. I thought I was just doing lucky, doing the thing and, you know, lucky. I didn't realize that actually trying and working towards something without any, that essentially what it is without any instant gratification is essentially paying your dues.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think it's a lot of that weird, the internet sort of exacerbated everything for sure, but of like, oh, if I just put something out there, it's going to be like, I'm going to be viral like in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes it does happen, but mm-hmm. also you realize that everything that requires a certain level of like, I guess what we consider out here, like production value, it really just comes from that because like paying dues is really just your practice as a mm-hmm. creative to be like problem mm-hmm. solving. So when you get to that point of like, you want it to be seamless,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to keep butting your head up against how do I solve this problem, how do mm-hmm. I solve that problem. And sometimes it is as simple as like, I just gotta wake up early, handle mm-hmm. my thing, and then go do the thing that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy for me. Sometimes it's fun because it's like trying to figure out how I'm trying to, you know, I almost look at it like a video game sometimes, like how do I optimize this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's also the pleasure that comes from the fact that like I'm doing this, that I created myself, that I'm pioneering, that mm-hmm. I'm directing. Maybe everyone just sees you as the creative and the host, but everything else that you're doing in the background, as far mm-hmm. as like all the different hats you have to put on, whether mm-hmm. it's booking things, organizing stuff,
mm-hmm.
or like dictating how the aesthetic has to be or anything like mm-hmm. that, like that's on like a call sheet on something, that's like 10 different things, mm-hmm. but to be doing it as one person, like you see it pay off,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing it pay off, and that's like an amazing thing to see happen, mm-hmm. and be a part of and watch it grow.
And not even monetarily, I think that's something that I got up to, like, you know, there's this thing that I know a lot of people, I don't want this to become a soapbox or a sermon to people that are just getting creative and moving to LA or anybody that wants to be creative in any capacity, but it's just, you know, whenever I tell people things, I'm like, look, I'm telling you this not as a know-it-all or anybody that knows anything. Mm-hmm. It's just because I have screwed up before.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a certain mindset and I'm just trying to prevent. I don't want to see you. I went down that dead end. Please don't walk down that alley.
Yeah.
And that's more of like more or less where I'm coming from. Like sometimes it may not be, you know, someone told me once the money will come.
Yeah.
The advertisements will come. You do have to put an effort and learn, because that's a science in itself.
Yeah.
What I want everyone to know that's listening to this as a creator is that it is so important that you don't put the monetary before the actual creation and the cultivation, into using two words like that, but before getting the work done and figuring out who you are creatively and what your niche is, what you want to do.
Yeah, figuring out the process before where the money's going to be flowing in from. Exactly. Like, oh, you know.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people, and this has been talked about endlessly, are chasing virality. I can tell you that it is, at the end of the day, there is someone controlling the wheels on these things. I don't care what anybody says. I went viral for criticizing people. And that's not even my lane. That's not even what I want my platform to be. So I had to stop responding to things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important because I think that everyone thinks that even if you have a great idea, right? You have a great idea that it should somehow pay your bills. And it can. And eventually if you work hard at it, it will. I believe that. But starting out that way is always, again, to be repetitious, is a lose-lose. And so that's another thing that I've learned too is, and I don't think I was necessarily chasing money or thinking this, I was thinking of ways like, okay, how do I get the time and money, you know, to continue to do this? And it's just like finding balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great quote that I lived on for months, like in my head. Octavia Butler had all these jobs. A potato chip inspector. And this woman was a MacArthur genius and was working these jobs that she hated. And she openly admitted that she hated. And the other part of that is it's okay to be miserable. It is okay. Miserable is a feeling. It is okay to not be happy about it as well. Because there's this idea, especially within spirituality, where you have to be positive and everything has to be some inspirational quote.
Yeah.
And that's not how life works either. Let yourself have those ebbs and flows of emotion. Like, yeah. You know, you didn't get to record today because you had to go into your job and then you're resentful. Like, let that stuff go through you and allow yourself to feel those things. Because if anybody tells you that, like, it's lower vibrational or it's not spiritual to have negative emotions or negative feelings, especially when you're creating, they are full of shit.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. There is nothing wrong with being, you know, as long as you push through it. That's the way I like, as long as you don't stay in that place.
Yeah. I feel like that highlights a conversation that we've had before about not just the way that spirituality kind of got, I don't know what the right way to present this is, but there was like a giant wave into looking at astrology and looking at mysticism, especially during the pandemic, that we were watching happen. It's like we were watching the tidal wave hit as we were like producing the show. So it was interesting watching that dynamic shift. And I think what you're talking about really highlights that weird chase that was happening for a while of like ego death.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of like you always have to be in this high state of mind. You always have to be this. And to do that, you must destroy the ego. And it's something that I actually learned from editing and listening to the show, which was like, but you're denying a side of you that needs to exist. You're essentially saying that yourself isn't good enough to exist within yourself, because the ego is a self-protective thing. It is like, yes, it can be selfish and narcissistic at times, but it is almost like the immune system of the mind that's saying like, there are certain things that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying that, you know, it's okay to be miserable. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have these what are considered lower vibrational or lower negative emotions. But like, it's a part of the human emotional spectrum, and to deny any aspect of it is to deny it as a whole. At least personally, I believe that. So I think it's very interesting that you're seeing that happen and you're moving forward with that mentality of like, you're allowed to embrace, it's not even the darker side of things, it's just who you are. You're allowed to feel hurt when something bad happens. You're allowed to feel angry when someone's done you wrong. It can't just be like smiles up and then everything's gonna be a-okay. Like, mm-hmm. You'll go insane if you just drive the same point of like, I always have to be okay, when it's like, let me sit in my car and like just sigh for like a second. Let me go for a walk, or like, sometimes you just got to like cry it out if something like really hits you like heavy or hits you at home. And to see that sort of weird, I'm hoping like the resurgence of like, let's actually look at it for the whole of things. Let's actually look at the balance of things versus this weird, what was the, I think you're the one that mentioned to me the idea of like toxic positivity.
Yeah.
The idea that like people just need to always be in a higher, quote unquote, higher vibrational mindset, when in reality, what you're really doing is like you're avoiding the shadow work. You're avoiding the parts that need to be identified. The parts are inside of you that are need to be identified as like the rooted trauma that you may have experienced, mm-hmm. or maybe just something that you haven't really tapped into yet. I feel like that is just as important as like, yeah, maybe it is good to give your friend a pep talk and try to get their spirits up. But sometimes like I appreciate the friendships that sometimes they just let me be like upset. They let me be sad. They're mm-hmm. just like, they understand. They'll just be like, yeah, that sucks, dude. And just let me have my moment. Like not let me spiral down and mm-hmm. self-destruct, but definitely just be like, you're allowed to soak in that for a second. But then as soon as you understand that and you've identified that, get back to it, like you bounce back up, like we're giving you that time, we're giving you that space because you're allowed that as a human, versus pick yourself up, you know, by your bootstraps again, like smiles up, everything's gonna be a-okay. When it's like, what happens when there's a tragedy though? You're telling me I'm supposed to be smiling right now? I know I have to get things done, but like don't. It's like, don't, like
yes, exactly. There is this small, I won't say small version of the, like the leap from evangelical Christianity to like, you know, I would call it New Age spiritual thinking, that you can somehow, Chawan talked about this, get, you know, make your way around the human experience, get out of the hero's journey by willing it to be so. You can't, you know, meditate your way out of the human, it is all a part of the human experience. All these negative emotions, all these things, all these setbacks is all a part of it. And it almost feels like after the pandemic, everybody decided, I don't want to be human anymore because it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I feel that. Like it wasn't that fun for everybody on the planet, but it's really not fun, especially here in the States, in America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this anymore. So now, where are the aliens at to pick us up? Well, they're not, I mean, I don't think they're coming. If they do come, welcome, whatever. I don't think that there is like an alien. I do not believe that there is an alien race. You know, Dolores Cannon or whatever.
There isn't the savior. That's
coming in. And I feel like that is essentially the issue with people, kind of like jumping from whatever Abrahamic religion, you know, Christianity to straight New Age, because it's just like, people are still looking to be saved.
Yeah.
But they just want to be saved by something else. Yeah. Not, you know what I'm saying? And they haven't, because so much is embedded in our culture and the way we think are in alignment with that theology. And it's not, you can't really apply it to everything else.
No. I feel like it's skewed things a little bit too, because some of the conversations you've had throughout the history of the show, that you notice the pattern of conversation always ends up being that, unless like, it's never a criticism against all that. If you are interested in astrology, in like any sort of form of spirituality, or, you know, even people that start doing like, you know, maybe candle rituals or applying these things in their day-to-day life. If you do receive that sense of comfort or sense of self and you're learning through that, obviously take those baby steps into learning that. But you've had conversations with people that have been doing this for literally decades, that have been practicing for years, but you start noticing that the way that they kind of like the stride and the way they walk about it and the way they talk about it is very much of like, it's all needs to be stemmed, maybe not necessarily needs, but it needs to be prioritized, that this is not, if I burn enough incense and pray to the right person, they're going to descend upon me and then all my problems are going to go away. It needs to be a sense of you taking accountability for what you're able to do, and then taking, whether it's through a practice or through a ritual, to get from that point A to that point B. And just, again, like you mentioned, the having someone come over to save the day, it's that same search of like, do I look at it in a church? Do I go to a temple? Or do now I ask upon the pantheon of saints or the pantheon from another religion?
I think what you're saying about how now it seems to be trendy to, use these belief systems as almost like a cosmic slot machine.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work that way, in my opinion. Now, I'm not here, like I said, I'm on a thing. I'm not knocking any what anybody's doing. But I know that there was a time period where I could have, when we started this, where we all could have gone full-blown guru cult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Readings, mediumship. Like, we could have really gone deep into that and monetized the hell out of the spirituality. Or I won't say grift, but there is a time where I could have positioned myself as some kind of, like, spiritual person to listen to. Because there's a lot of people that kind of started out in media doing this thing around the time I did. Now, I had, obviously, back to my original origin story, I have always had an interest in, I remember being a very small kid, alone. I'm an only child. I was watching Unsolved Mysteries, and the episode about Edgar Casey came on, and I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been hooked on things paranormal, mysterious and all those things. So this has been like but also in combination with, it always was in conflict with the religious school I went to, my peers. These were the kind of things that effectively I did even, get reprimanded for, and I probably would have gotten, shunned for, to be honest, if I'd gone full blown, if I had had the courage at the time. But the podcast was the coming out party. Like, okay, this is what I'm interested in. I want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time where there were a lot of people during the pandemic. And look, LA is a different beast. And I know you guys understand this. Like, there were a lot of people. And I've said this on TikTok and other social media platforms. There are a lot of people who relied on working in person, whether they were entertainers already. And I think that a lot of those folks went through a who am I if I can't work type thing. And a lot of them decided, I'm a Pleiadian tarot reader now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an oracle now. I've had my spiritual awakening. And my issue with that has always been that, I'm not saying that people aren't gifted. What I'm saying is if you have a spiritual awakening, then the first thing you decide to do is capitalism. Yeah. First thing you decide to is monetize that.
Yeah.
Something that should be, it just takes time. It is not an overnight thing to have. Enlightenment is not an overnight thing. And it's not this thing that you get, from I had flu-like symptoms and I haven't ascended,
Yeah.
And I've noticed, and the reason why I say that is because I've noticed a lot of these same people engaging in some of the same behavior. And I've said this throughout this podcast too, I know, engaged in some of the same behavior that people behaved in church situations, the same superiority, like I am more spiritual than you,
mm-hmm.
blah, 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 blah. You just aren't manifesting correctly. That's why good things aren't happening to you. And we're at a point now, Oscar, in time where that is not sustainable.
No, no. I know we both saw that crazy... You say you don't want to call it grifting. I'll take the bullet. I will call it grifting. I'll call it grifting because that's what it was. It was snake oil salesman being like, I have now discovered this new thing, or a thing that like I know how to do better than you. So like, what if you buy this mm-hmm. thing or you buy that thing? And at that point, it's a business plan disguised as spiritual awakening. I'm just like, you're still just trying to sell a product. You're just capitalizing on, and this kind of touches on to the conversation we talked about like the looking back at all of it now with like the spiritual psychosis that mm-hmm. was occurring or is possibly still occurring now. But like, it's just this idea that, dude, everyone was afraid. No one knew what was going on. No matter how secure you thought you were, whether it was in your own spiritual endurance or financially or just like the people around you, it was tough times. It's still tough times now. And for there to be this wave of people to be like, this is my time to shine,
mm-hmm.
was like, we had a lot of serious conversations because we were taking steps into that community mm-hmm. and into that circle. And while you were trying to essentially just seek not only your own truth, but the truth within the conversations with all these different guests, to see that happening in like this rampant. It was like almost like a tech boom of like, mm-hmm. everyone just has an app now. Everyone has Kindle. Mm-hmm. Everyone has this. Everyone has that. And it's like, you know, again, not to knock down any of the people that truly felt that they have found they unlocked something spiritual within them, but there just was like, it would be naive of us to accept it as just a lot of people opening their eyes or opening their minds to this. There were truly people out there, possibly even still now, most definitely mm-hmm. still now, who were taking advantage of people in a fear mode, in a fear mindset, that didn't know what they were doing. And now all of a sudden, like, you know, you're right, it's not sustainable. We're seeing that crumble as we're having this conversation of people that try to build these little mini empires because maybe their acting gigs weren't as fruitful anymore. Whatever they needed to be more charismatic and personal wasn't working anymore. And to prey upon those that are just looking for something, whether it might have been an escape or maybe it was to truly find something that was greater than themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it put us all in a weird position of like, we felt like we were in a tightrope for like mm-hmm. a certain amount of time, like for sure.
And I think that's also why going forward, you guys are going to see the podcast. I'm not ever going to not talk about spirituality or things that are religious, or, you know, we're going to have theologians on. We're going to have people that I admire still on, but I really need to get back to my roots and interview artists. And a lot of these artists that we're going to interview, the political and the spiritual intersect. So their work is based in something that I personally believed in, or their politics match mine in a way that I feel comfortable. Because it's over, there's so much oversaturation with, and now that there is, let me say this, there is the tide is turning on new spirituality, new age spirituality. And I think, and this is just a prediction, I think that, like, because the pendulum swings so far sometimes, I think that people aren't going to be as neutral or objective and be like, okay, these people are not cool in what they're doing. I think now we're even seeing, like, people saying that it's all spirituality is somehow wrong because I got caught up in the shaman cult, you know, mm-hmm. thing, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm an atheist and da, da, da. And that's really not how it should be. I think that that's because so many people dive into things head first without really tiptoeing, dipping your toe in, you know, getting in the shallow end, and then eventually, you know, immersing yourself in stuff. Like, these are beliefs that shouldn't be like microwaved or just eaten or just consumed so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And especially shouldn't be instantly monetized on. So I think that going forward, and while we kind of watch all this play out,
mm-hmm.
we want to be careful as a creative, as someone who is trying to have the best integrity, is not to kind of entertain and get in the fray of like all these little debates and arguments, and also, you know, align myself with some with discourse and conversation I'm not necessarily comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not discounting all, you know, new age thinking or, you know, any of the thinkers. Like, I'm not interested in that. I do think that we always have to, and Mitch Horwood said this in his last book, and I thanked him for it. Because I was trying to figure out, where do I fit in then? Where do I fit in as a person who's, you know, still interested in all these things, but I also don't want to get involved in anything that is, that's not my politics.
Mm-hmm.
That is not some pipeline for really dangerous ideas, or that is, you know, that doesn't have a racist, ableist origin. And so what he was saying is, you know, you can discount the ideas, essentially, like, get rid of the ideas, but don't lose, like, and essentially, like, you have to have new things come in, you know, but it should be up to us to decide what's good and what's not good without, like, throwing, you know,
mm-hmm.
the age old, throw the baby out with the bathwater thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I can sit in that neutrality and feel good about it, and also notice that the people that we've had on this podcast, the people that I really, like, enjoy their work as far as the spiritual community goes, they don't even engage in that behavior. They mm-hmm. don't get into these tussles with, you know, newer folks in spirituality or whatever, and, like, they don't really get involved in that. And they also, these people have been in for a while, they didn't build their platforms overnight. I don't mm-hmm. know if that's due to the internet or what, but they've really set a good example and been able to keep people like Mitch and some other folks have been able to keep me grounded where I don't feel like I'm going to miss out or headed down the wrong path because the current, you know, spirituality is split between several different groups and ideas and people that make me uncomfortable. I don't know if you guys follow me on TikTok. You've more than free. I've kind of calmed down a little bit, but like there was, you know, a manifestation coach claiming that she could cure or that they could cure autism. You know, that's not something that needs to be cured. And those are the things that I just would like, even if everybody is, you know, saying they're wrong or they're going to turn the page on that. We don't want to be adjacent to that as creators. I want to be as far away from that as possible. And I'm just speaking honestly because I know people that follow the podcast. I'm just being honest because I know these are questions that need to be answered. Like, what does she actually think? You know, where are they? Where do they stand? And I do see myself as somebody who's into religious pluralism. You know, I think people should practice what they want freely. But there is, again, there is this looming political element, and there are a lot of concepts, religious, spiritual concepts, that are used to they're being used to manipulate people politically, too. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So that's what you guys have to look forward to.
Yeah,
is more artists, more creatives. We're even gonna have like I want to get back to my roots. Oscar knows this. Most of us have met in working in food, and I really feel like talking to people in the culinary world, talking to people that are artists and artisans in different ways is really important to me too, because we just want to dig into outsider experiences, but not the ones that make you barge into the Capitol.
Yeah. No, sorry. That was
a really long explanation, long-winded, sorry.
No, well, I think ultimately it's just it's sticking to the point that we created from like the very beginning, which has always been, there was never anything to prove. There was never any opinion to enforce. There was never any flag to wave. It was always, you wanted to know something that you were interested in. You wanted to find the truth about it. And especially from the different types of guests you've had across the board from every single season, including this one. There's always been just that common thread. It's just, you're providing a space for people to just speak their truth. And it just so happens that the Venn diagram of the things that they do and that you're interested in, they overlap and they just lead to interesting conversations. At least in my opinion, that's what's always been the main goal. Because I've never had any like, oh, we should never talk to so-and-so, we should never do that. You've had a pretty good compass on like, these are the people that I want to interact with. Right. These are the people that I want to have conversations with. And we've been nothing but blessed and grateful of everyone that's been involved thus far about like my opinion as the audio engineer and audio editor on this. Like, you can hear in people's voices when they feel comfortable. You can hear it when there's like tension and you know, over hours and hours and hours of listening to conversation, like, that's what I liked about it. It was the fact that we always try to maintain that sense of like, you're not going to be judged here. We just want to hear you out. Mm-hmm. We love what you do, or we're interested in what you do, usually both. And the whole like, you need to be on one side or the other, which is the oversaturation in this industry, has been, you know, like we're introverts at heart. We're very, very keep to ourselves. And the idea of maintaining not just our own peace, but a peaceful space has been priority number one since the beginning. And I think that's all that's ever really, I hope that's all that's ever really been conveyed, is that we're not trying to be the next anything. We like what we do. We love what we do. And we've just been grateful and blessed to not only have an amazing community grow out of this, and an amazing just individuals that have come out of their way to be like, we love what you guys are doing. I'm so interested in hearing what you guys have to say. And I mean, much love to all of you, because you've kept us going, like hearing those voices of just the community that's been like, hey, thank you for finally being that space. Finally creating that arena and that stage for people not having to be like some, you know, crossfire bullshit where it's just like, where do you stand on this and where do you stand on that? It's just like, there's a reason why shows like that are bullshit, because you see through the veil immediately. Mm-hmm. And especially when conversations like this that have to do with, you know, some of them are considered niche subjects, and the people that come on here are experts at them. So it's good to just sit and listen. Like, yeah. So sometimes I don't need to have people yelling over a damn microphone about what's wrong and what's right. Like, I just want to sometimes be like, oh, dude, that was just an insightful conversation.
Yeah. I think everyone that's listening to this will realize that or relate to this. Arguing with people, constantly debating people is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, particularly exhausting, because I realize at the end of the day, you don't want to sacrifice relationships because you guys don't necessarily agree with the part of the Bible that I don't agree with or something like that. You know, there are things that I fundamentally agree with, as far as like morality that's in the Bible. And there are some things that I firmly disagree with and that I'm no longer ashamed to say that I disagree with, and I never really was. I think it was just that, like, I knew that other people around me felt a certain way, and I just, you know, I felt like it was going to be a fight or be challenged on it. And I just, what I've realized is, you know, people will come to those conclusions when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that everyone, no matter if you're in the creative space, the artistic space, the spiritual spaces, whatever realizations you have may be just for you.
Yeah.
Those enlightenment moments may just be for you and may not necessarily be for everyone. And they're not, folks, may not be there yet.
Yeah.
And that's okay for them not to be there yet. And if they never get there, that's fine too. But the constant debating is exhausting, but there are people that are built for it.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized is I was like, oh, this is making me so angry. And every time I see a video where somebody's saying that, you know, gay people are going to hell or, you know, some kind of, you know, you can manifest yourself out of illness. Like, it would enrage me. And then I realized, oh, by debating and by constantly trying to get my point across, I'm A, looking for validation that I don't need to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I'm acting just like I was 10 or 15 years ago as like a high school student trying to minister to people. Like, I still feel like I need to convince people that I'm right.
Yeah, you're
and
just
that's what I need to leave
just reskin the conversation. But it's once you feel that feeling of like, ooh, I'm back to that. Mm-hmm. I'm back to that. It's like, you mm-hmm. at least having the self awareness is, I think, definitely the indicator of growth too. Though, just to realize, like, if you can hit that realization, because you're absolutely right, your growth as an individual does not have to be, now you have to do this. Now you have to do this. I went through this thing, so now you have to go out of your way. Like you mentioned, like the policing part is the thing where you need to immediately be able to like wipe your hands away from ever having to be like, if I think this, you now have to think this. Mm-hmm. It's the same evangelical conversation. You're just talking about a different, you're just looking at it through a different perspective.
Exactly.
But it's the same path.
Yeah. And I'm laughing because but most of all, like, you just cannot, people can't, there's no such thing as you can ascension in the sense where you've ascended above the ignorance of other people.
Mm.
Or there, I don't think that is what ascension is about, to make that a little bit clearer. And I think that, you know, there is this perception that you can, you know, be above, once you know better, then you can be above, you know, them. And I just, you know, I don't want the totality of my creative output, your creative output, to be bitching about other communities that we don't belong in.
Yeah.
It's such a waste of time. And I think that once everybody gets there, this is my strong opinion of the day, I think once everybody gets there, it'll be a wonderful, beautiful thing. Once we realize we can't change and change people. Because at the end of the day, there are some people that don't really care about the stakes that come along with these isms and phobias. Some of this is just argument for sport for them.
Yeah.
So you can't build community while sitting there wasting your breath with these kind of people. And so that's where I'm at with it, and I'm so excited to have other interesting people on. But yeah, that's probably, that hopefully that explains the pivot that we're, a little bit of a pivot that we're making, or the opening up that we're going to be doing on this podcast by just talking to people, just different kinds of people from different paths in life.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely excited for that, just to see this expand. Like, the umbrella that we're creating is going to be really, really awesome, especially with, I mean, from what I've edited so far and the conversations you're already having, you know, it's nice to finally get to say hello to everybody and have, like, this nice, like, check-in and stuff and be able to finally have this conversation almost one-on-one with each other.
Yeah.
But also just, I mean, this is what we just do behind closed doors anyways. Exactly. Like, this is the exact same thing that we do. We just, now I have the mic in front of me. Now I'm going to have to listen to myself for, like, the hour or whatever this is.
Everybody hates their own voice, but I think you sound fine, but I hate my voice.
It's,
so.
It's something. It's, I think it's thing. It's a weird thing. It's the way it resonates in your brain. Mm. It's that whole weird thing. Because I know I sound monotone. I know I sound like fucking Ben Stein, like, you know. fucking Bueller Day all day long. But going back to your point, though, like, yeah, I totally... I am actually very, very excited to see how this will continue to grow, because it's not only just been the response that you've received from the public, and just, you know, I'm just the guy behind the curtain that gets to pull the sound strings and stuff, but I am active on, like, seeing where everything's going and with the conversations that have been had and where they're going to go. And I'm just hoping that everybody out there listening is just as excited as well, because it's just been a fun ride this entire time. Like, it's just been a joy to, you're a joy to work with, this is a joy to work on, and to see it expand to where it's been, like, because literally this was just hanging out and talking about it, and then next thing you know, we're designing a website and we're learning how to use, like, the software, and we're, like, plugging everything in, and then the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that's gone into this, and to see it flourish the way that it has, has just been, yeah, it's a joy to share, definitely.
Yep. So we're making stuff for the weirdos, but not the weirdos. We're not interested in we're interested in weirdos. We're not interested in other weirdos that want to make other weirdos feel bad.
Yeah.
This is just not what we, or the other weirdos that want to debate everybody, and that's just not what we're up to. So we're thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
We did take that long hiatus, but again, like, hopefully we painted a good picture of what it's like to live and hustle in LA. It is not easy, but, you know, sometimes things get delayed, but it feels like I'm picking up where I left off. And hopefully we bring you guys some cool content. We have a lot of stuff coming up, you know, that's going to be really cool. And I'm just grateful that everybody's still here to listen and, you know, interact with us a little bit more. I know I'm like post something like some kind of like nebulous thing every couple of months on Instagram, but Instagram's kind of just like a home base.
Yeah.
TikTok is where I clown. So maybe I'll make a TikTok page or something like that. But you guys let us know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Definitely excited to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Also, yeah. I don't know how to end this. I'll do a fade out. I'll do a fade out right here. I'll trickle it in. I'll trickle it in. Yeah, cue outro.